Welcome to episode 576 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
2 Kings chapter 3. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha king of Moab was a sheepmaster, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time, and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, saying,
The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?
And he said,
I will go up. I am as thou art. My people is thy people, and my horses is thy horses.
And he said,
Which way shall we go up?
And he answered,
The way through the wilderness of Edom.
So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said,
Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together, to deliver them into the hand of Moab.
But Jehoshaphat said,
Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?
And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said,
Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah.
And Jehoshaphat said,
The word of the Lord is with him.
So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel,
What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father, and to the prophets of thy mother.
And the king of Israel said unto him,
Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together, to deliver them into the hand of Moab.
And Elisha said,
As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. But now, bring me a minstrel.
And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said,
Thus saith the Lord, Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand.
Let me repeat the 18th verse of 2 Kings 3. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites into your hand. You see, God can save whom God wants to save. God can heal whom God wants to heal. God can deliver whom God wants to deliver. God can set free whom God wants to set free. God can straighten out whom God wants to straighten out. God can work a miracle for whomever a miracle needs to be worked. And if I could just get out of the way, God would give the message he wants you to hear. For those who find themselves between a rock and a hard place, who believe that the bottom has dropped out, who find themselves facing an enemy that is impossible to defeat, who battle psychological depression and spiritual malaise, God has a word for you. It could be that you're faced with a circumstance that appears to be your undoing, or it could be that you're faced with a problem that you cannot solve, a hurdle over which you are unable to jump. It may be that wherever you go, you keep bumping into walls, and you keep facing closed doors and missed opportunities. Or it may be that even now your hopes are dashed and your dreams go unfulfilled. If this is your circumstance, let me assure you that you are in the right place. God has a word even for you. For African-American people who are overrepresented in the prison population, who are disproportionately victims of gun violence and other crimes, who who have lower household incomes compared to their Asian, white, and Latino counterparts, who are more than twice as likely as white people to experience threats or uses of force during police encounters, and three times more likely to be jailed if arrested, God has a word for you. Of course, you don't really need this word if everything's all right in your life. You don't need this word if you've never had any difficulties, setbacks, or heartbreaks. You don't need this word if life for you has been a crystal stair. But if life has given you more than you can handle, and if you've discovered that when you should be rising, you find yourself falling, when you should be on your mountain, you are yet in your valley, when you should be in victory, you are languishing in defeat. If you were African Americans, people whose ancestors were ripped from Africa and forced to cross the Atlantic on slave ships, if you have suffered from higher infant mortality rates, lower life expectancy, lower levels of educational attainment, higher rates of participation in public assistance programs than your white counterparts, this is the word that you need to hear. It's a light thing. It's no big deal. In the opening verse of 2 Kings 3, it speaks of King Jehoram, who now sits on the throne. Jehoram is the son of arguably the Bible's wickedest couple, King Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab is now dead. Jehoram has attempted to make some feeble, half-hearted reforms. The writer of the book tries to say something good about Jehoram, but fails in the process. This is what he says. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. Uh-oh. But not like his father and like his mother. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. So Jehoram was a pretty bad guy. God disapproved of what he did, but he wasn't as evil or corrupt as his parents. Now, however, trouble is on the horizon. Moab begins to revolt against Israel and refuses to pay Jehoram the tribute that is expected and required. In light of this impending conflict, Jehoram seeks the aid of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. There's no actual king in Edom. The person who was acting in that role was a placeholder, as it were. But Edom itself, a subject of Judah, was compelled to join the battle. And so you have it. Judah and Edom siding with Israel to do battle against rebellious Moab. This, however, is no happy coalition. Israel, Judah, and Edom are really enemies, but are simply joined together for the survival of each. Stay with me. Let's look at the King James Version of 2 Kings 3 verse 9. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. In order to put themselves in a militarily advantageous position, the three allies decided to go around the southern end of the Dead Sea, a far more difficult and dangerous path, and advance through the mountains of Edom to enter from the south. When the Bible says that they fetched a compass, it really means that they traveled in a circular fashion, following each of the points of the compass in turn. The detour, then, was through Edom in a complete circle around the southern border of Moab, in a giant fishhook pattern in order to be able to attack from the east. As a consequence of their long and arduous journey, they discovered that there was not enough water for the army or for the cattle that followed them to feed their troops. It was then that somebody raised the God issue. Said Jehoram, "Alas, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And that was a moment that Jehoshaphat raised the prophet question. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Let me assure you that God has a word for you right now in the midst of this ancient text about an ancient battle that had to do with people who you don't know and whom you'll never meet. Down in the essence of this text, God has a word for you right now. To be continued. Father, thank you that you have a word for those of us who find ourselves in difficult, desperate, impossible situations. Help us to trust you that as you delivered your people in the past, you can deliver us. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.